Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Hope you survived the weekend well. Spent a lot of time outdoors this weekend. It was a gorgeous one. Thanks be to God for that. Got a couple of days of rain, but thanks be to God for that as well. You know, you can never tell. If you judge by the immediate appearance of how things look, well, maybe that skews the long view of things, and maybe that's the failing that we have when it comes to, you know, our understanding of Scripture. Don't you think, Pastor Boyce Clare, that we always see what's in front of our nose, but we never seem to see beyond?
Yes.
You know?
And it's interesting. I just got for my birthday, I got a dramatized version of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, and it's one of the things that Uncle Screwtape tells Wormwood, that you always deal with stuff in front of your nose rather than eternities and all of these other things that get you to wonder about what makes the world tick.
It is my conviction that one of Satan's most productive tools is distraction.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's the magician's trick. You know, you watch what the right hand is doing when the left hand is actually setting up the trick that's going to take place.
That's why it's called legerdemain.
That's right. Pastor David Boyce Clare, our guest, belated salutations on your birthday.
Oh, I thank you
the
very
anniversary
much.
Of your birth.
9/11, yeah. That's
not
right. Yeah, I was baptized on Pearl Harbor Day, too.
Wow.
Seriously.
Interesting family history there. We'll have to talk sometime.
Yes.
Pastor David Boyce Clare serves two congregations here in the southern part or the northern part of St. Louis County. I love saying it that way. Gives people the exact location of where you are, Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches. And we also...
And also, as you know, Bethesda has that connection to the Messenger of Good News, in that the founder of the Messenger of Good News, Walter A. Meyer Sr., preached his first sermon at Bethesda and his last sermon.
You have all kinds of historical connections.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I was going to mention that, you know, every once in a while, regardless of which program, I do this infrequently, but sometimes it's things that mean a lot to me when I bring them before the listeners and say, you know, trust me, I commend you. You should do this or you should think about that. Mm-hmm. You've got a great thrift store over there at on Lucas and Hunt, and not just for purchasing, but also for giving stuff as well.
Oh, yes.
And you can always use those donations.
And we have folks that do community outreach through us. They set up their little tables and adult daycare and so on. And we have changed over to our fall line. So now you can get...
So in other words, instead of going in the door on the right, you go in the door on the left, and now it's the fall line.
We've got a very nice line of jeans.
Good.
So our people love...
Yeah, well, one of the listeners who calls here frequently, Larry, has brought you some things and speaks very highly of the mission that you do through the work of that.
He's a very good lay theologian.
He is.
He's really making a very serious study of the Bible and in of course a Lutheran exegetical manner.
And so in many ways by supporting, and the reason I'm belaboring this if the listeners are wondering, is there's a direct connection here to what we're going to be talking about today. One quick in and out. This is sort of guerrilla theology. We're going to make a quick run in, do a hit, and then
although
run
not as short as Obadiah, I guess. There's others that are shorter.
But, you know, the appearances would be that if you looked only at maybe one of the congregations you serve, small, you know, urban, seemingly not doing real well.
Right.
If you tried to make an assessment on the greater purpose and strength of God, you might come away saying, not too sure what's going on here.
Yes.
And this is what's going on in Israel at the time of
Haggai. Right.
So in a lot of ways. So let's begin with prayer. This is, and I stand to be corrected by my fellow lay theologians, but I find this to be the most Lutheran of all the Old Testament books.
Ah, you have to share
and
that
hopefully
one with
I'll me. Be able to, you know, justify that statement as we go along. But if we could pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Book of the Twelve, prophets, the minor prophets, in this case Haggai, your servant, who with Zechariah were prophesying at the time of Ezra when the temple was being rebuilt in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. It was a very difficult time for your people then, as these days are difficult times for us now. Even as Thomas Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls, as it is in our nation. It's a struggle for the soul of our nation in these very dark days. We pray, dear Lord, that you would brighten us with the light of your gospel as we study these precious texts. And be with us now as we explore the wonders of the Word of Christ in Haggai, your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Boyce Clare. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. Try using the iPhone app. It's a cool little gizmo. If you don't have an iPhone, if you haven't waited online for the last 6 weeks to get the very first iPhone 5 that came out.
Yes.
If you've got an Android phone or something, go to Wonder Radio. Similar apps are available there. Stream the programming, get access to the archives, and you can also contact us during the programs as you stream them. With Haggai, you mentioned a couple of things. One, you mentioned that they just come back from captivity. Now, we have Ezra, we have Nehemiah, we have Zechariah, we have Haggai, and it all takes place sort of in that broad window of the restoration of the people to the land.
Yes.
Right. So Haggai comes where in that? Is he at the beginning? Is he at the middle?
The middle, because they came back in 538 at the decree of Cyrus, the Persian emperor. And this is the second year of King Darius, this was like 480, I'm sorry. So that's like 100 years later.
So Haggai was in captivity. He was not born as part of the return.
It's 520.
520.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. BC. So that's maybe 18 years. They've been back for about 17, 18 years, and they rebuilt the altar of burnt offering, but they did not begin building the temple. Ezra 5 says, now the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And then Zerubbabel is there, who is the governor, and then Joshua, or the same Jesus, the son of Jozadak, was the high priest. They arose to begin to rebuild the house of God. And so that's what...
And the people returned to the land in waves, right? It wasn't one mass exodus from Persia,
correct,
what was Babylon.
And then even Nehemiah comes later as a governor after Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel, of course, is a very important person because he is a direct descendant of David, the king. And this is kind of his presence shows that God is keeping his promise that there shall never lack a man to sit upon the throne of Israel. Because I remember I had a professor that kind of was really happy about the fact that God didn't keep his promise that there would never lack a man on the throne of Israel. If they could have had a monarchy, then Zerubbabel was readily available.
Now, let's do just a quick refresher here, because we sort of skipped over as we went from Hosea to Malachi. We actually skipped over the exile.
Oh, yes.
And what put them into exile. We had the forecast, the prediction that this would come. What put them into exile in the first place? Was it that they just simply weren't very good and they lost a war, or was it something greater?
It was something greater. It was their a lack of faithfulness to the Lord. In fact, they at the time of Ezekiel, which is he prophesied during the just the time in which Israel was, it was in the plan of Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Jerusalem, and in other words, they didn't listen to Jeremiah.
Right.
Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Ezekiel was from the end of the captivity. He was in captivity, and Jeremiah was on the other, looking at it from Judea. And the gross idolatry in the temple itself, if you look at, I believe it's Ezekiel, where they had in the holy place of the temple, they had images of beasts and lizards and so on, and there, yeah. And there were, and the priests were, had censers full of incense that they were offering to the to these idols, and the people were weeping, the women were weeping for Tammuz, the Babylonian god, and people were worshiping the sun, and then you have the really dramatic picture that Ezekiel, you know, his prophecy, where the glory of God is removed from the temple. And then, of course, Jeremiah says, don't trust in these deceitful words saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And so here you have, you know, that sort of thing going on. So it was a very deeper reason that they were taken into captivity. Faithlessness.
Faithlessness. And speaking of faithlessness and pagans, what is even more remarkable about Haggai and the return of the exiles to the land is that you have this pagan king commanding them to rebuild the temple.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Not just saying, it's, you know, if you want to, go on. But he says, you will. Funny how God works.
Yes,
and, the last guy you would expect to say build the temple is some pagan king.
In fact, in Isaiah, Cyrus is called a Messiah.
Yeah,
you might say an anointed one, because ultimately God is the one who is in charge of the universe, and if the powers that be are there by his permission or by his direction.
And just like today, the people start a project. That they put down the altar, they put down the foundations of the temple, and then when things don't look too good and don't seem too good and we're not progressing very well, they get distracted and they go, we'll just get about our lives. We're back. That's good enough.
Well, and yes, and there were some difficulties because the people of the land sent reports back to Persia, Persepolis, or Susa, wherever the Persian emperor was making his... it was Persepolis that was his capital, these people who have been the troublemakers of 70, 80 years ago are at it again. so maybe you don't want them to start. Well, I think...
And that repeats through Ezra and Nehemiah as well.
More for the wall of Nehemiah, so that Nehemiah had to have his stonemasons carry swords while they were doing their reconstruction work.
Yeah. So that makes Haggai's mission what? What is he trying to accomplish with his word to the people?
Well, sometimes, you know, as Hosea was dealing with the exterior or hypocrisy, that in other words, they go through the motions and the rituals and so on of worship, but there is no faith in the heart. Haggai is saying, well, what you're occupying your time with is, it really says a lot about what you hold to be important. So obviously you don't think that having a temple is something that's important. And, you know, you've got your nice houses, but there is no temple of the Lord. And then also he talks about the ruins. This is something that comes later. The ruins are something which are unclean. And Haggai points out that things that are unclean are more pervasive than the things that are clean or holy.
Now, perhaps I'm reading a bit much into this, so it's your job as the pastor in the room to throttle me back if you have to a little bit. But isn't it part of Haggai's message that there is a bad economy, bad crops, and bad weather because of the attitude of the people?
Yes.
And if you look back over this summer, you kind of go, seems eerily similar.
Making a lot of times when in the 80s when I was a pastor out in rural Missouri, the people told me, they said, well, isn't it perhaps the fact that we're undergoing this drought the reason that we need to repent of our sins? And of course, you know, here you have a biblical,
sure,
God-inspired saying, yes, that's why that's going on. You know, nowadays you can just say, well, it's a call to repentance, but you can't say that it is God-inspired, well, to and that it's a punishment.
Yeah, and that call to repentance, which is predominant here in Haggai. See, I told you, this is a very Lutheran-sounding book, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what's the first of the 95 Theses?
Yeah, that our entire lives should be one of repentance.
See, there you go. Yes. Haggai. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're getting some callers on the line for you, Pastor. Let's read a couple of verses here because, by the time we get to verse 5, this is such sound teaching for today. Beginning verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Haggai. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai to the prophet, to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? And now here verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Don't know, we spend a lot of time doing that these days, considering our ways. We'll have to talk a little bit about what that means, but let's go to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Rick, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Hi, good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Rick.
Thanks for taking the call. And a call to repentance. Well said. I wanted to take a little sidebar here with King Darius.
Yes.
Concerning our upcoming elections, I know we're not supposed to sit back on our blessed assurance, but get out there and do something.
I like sit back on our blessed
Thank
assurance.
You, Rick. It's interesting how I get an email this morning from a friend in Pennsylvania who says, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, so what do you want to Did you want to enlarge on that?
Regardless of what may come about, God can touch that heart and turn him to do things that he had not originally thought to do.
Is this Darius?
Yes, sir, and 2012 election also.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's important for us to have the time of repent, or for us to always repent. And and perhaps the uncertainty and some of the anti-Christian things that are going in our nation is a result of our own
neglect,
sinfulness. Of course, I'm not saying that's thus saith the Lord. I'm just making that general observation.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a point to be made here about, you know, there is this thing called cause and effect. You know, if you drink too much, there will be an effect from doing that.
Yes.
But then this verse 5, consider your ways, is that failure to consider your ways that says, now maybe I'm doing something that's not quite healthy for me. Perhaps I should stop. Yeah, but we wake up one morning and go, how did I get fat? How did I get heart disease? And why am I an alcoholic? How did this come to pass? I am shocked, I tell you.
Yes. And there are some people that happens from just not... just living on the spur, or just looking at what's in front of them and reacting, or it's some of the people that make some very bad judgment calls.
So how can you tell the difference between the effect of bad behavior, as set against, as distinguished from the Lord directly intervening and causing things to happen to get something else to take place?
Well, it shows God's forbearance toward us. I mean that it isn't the philosophers that say that that are fatalists that say that all we are is a bunch of robots just walking around, yeah. and having everything you know, I remember a film, A Passage to India, where there is this one Brahmin played by Alec Guinness who says, he says, do what you like, but everything has to come out, it is going to come out the way it is. That's karma. And I guess, you know, God knows how things are going to turn out, but he doesn't guide us with that in mind. I mean, there is freedom of the will, of course, in things that are below us, not, you know, again, not in spiritual things, we have the opportunity to make choices in our lives. And now, as Christians, of course, we've been regenerated, and so we are newborn children of God, and the Holy, we, in a sense, there is a cooperation with the Holy Spirit in our spiritual life. And when we seek, you know, sometimes people neglect reading the scriptures or going to church or praying.
Yeah.
Then they in a sense that's getting out of touch with the means of grace. But again, it's so there is a human responsibility that's involved here.
Yeah, I guess this phrase "consider your ways" is sort of the biblical way of saying the old Dr. Phil line. How's that working out for you?
I like that. Yeah, they're using that a lot.
Yeah,
How's that working out? And then here
Haggai stands before the people and says, "Look around." He says, "You've sown much, harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes." How's that working out for you? Yeah? I mean, this is not so much a criticism as simply stating what the facts are. This is what's going on. They're having little production in the harvest. They're having little stores of food.
Mm-hmm.
And their money their money's worth about as much as if you put it in a pocket with holes in it.
And that's very much like today,
having
to pay almost $4 a gallon for gas or something. I
mean,
just about a couple, maybe about a year or two ago, I was able to fill my tank for $20. Now it costs $40.
Oh, at one time in life, the folks under 50 out there are going to go, what? Do you remember when your mother would outfit almost the entirety of the porcelainware in her kitchen from Gulf Oil Company, because every time you bought so many gallons, you got a plate or you got a saucer or you got a cup?
Well, I remember S&H green stamps.
That too.
Or she would. She all had a set of Courier and Ives that she collected little coupons for. You know.
Yeah. And then again, verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts: consider your ways. Now, when God says something more than once, you probably ought to pay attention to it. Yes, Pastor?
Yes, yes, sir. Absolutely.
And then he goes on, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. And that is today. That is today. We are completely distracted for a lot of different reasons, some for good reasons. You know, the economy is bad, so I just won't pay attention. You know, the world is coming to, you know, it's going to Hades in a handbasket. I'm busy. The kids have got soccer practice and all this. You know, Sunday, Pastor, that's my day when I can sleep in, get up late, have a cup of coffee, and relax.
Yes, I can have some time to myself.
Some me time. How's that working out for you, Pastor? The me time.
Absolutely. And then we get, when we aren't occupied with the means of grace, that's why in the epistle, which was a really hard one, you know, James was really rough with, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And before that, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it's not working out very well.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Yeah, if you try the email and somebody says, how's that working out for you? It works out great. Try it. Trust me. Pastor David Boies Clair, our guest this morning, we're doing a quick run at the book of Haggai, doing it thematically more than verse by verse. Join us. It's a great time, the break, to call in. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor David Boyce Clare. Again, please consider either shopping or making a donation to
Faith Lutheran Thrift Store. Everything's a dollar or less.
Everything's a dollar or less.
Yes.
And that's at 3000
Lucas and Hunt Road in Velda City.
So you would take Highway 70, and when you get to Highway 70, you would exit going north or south?
You would go south on Lucas and Hunt Road.
South on Lucas and Hunt.
And just south of Natural Bridge Road.
Do check that out. But, you know, during the break we were talking again about, the cause and effect versus something that God does directly to get the people's attention. I don't want to leave the impression that we're talking about covenant theology here. This isn't about, the Calvinist view of how life works.
Correct.
You know, it's just that Scripture tells you there are cause and effect. There's a natural order to creation. And we are warned more than once, Old Testament and New, that when we turn away from God and we rely heavily upon ourselves, how's that working out for you?
Yes, it doesn't work out. Then we find ourselves in hell. So
when you have bad crops and a bad economy and bad money and all the rest of this stuff and your families are breaking apart, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked.
Exactly. And that's what Haggai's message is. Always there is the glimmer of hope. There is resurrection after the death. The devil thought that he had Christ at 3 o'clock on the first Good Friday, and in that very second, the devil's power was crushed. So the psalmist says, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
His anger is for a moment, but his love is forever.
We're sort of getting that connection.
Oh, we're jumping here.
That's one of the directions I was going to go about.
We're cheating here.
Forgive me if I mention sometime during the program, his steadfast love endures forever. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Okay, as I see it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there are three predominant words, prophecies, that Haggai brings in this book here. The first one, because you have all these hostilities going on, the natives are restless, so to speak, around Jerusalem, and the rebuilding of the temple has brought itself to a close because people just... they've just given up. They've decided to tend to their personal needs instead. And as a result, the weather was bad. There was privation. Their cash was worthless. And what do the people of God say when Haggai points this out to them? That it's not because of the people around them, but it's because of their own failure to do what God has wanted them to do that these things have come upon them.
Well, in this case, there's good news that Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, kick themselves in the butt and start doing something about it.
So he says two things. How's that working out for you? Like the Dr. Phil version of that. But then he also says, don't give up. Don't give up.
Right.
Persevere. Remain steadfast in your endeavors. Well, how does that make sense to a people that they're essentially broken and despondent? That they've judged by what's in front of their nose as opposed to what God has said.
And it just shows that God wants them to worship, and obviously that's why there is the call to rebuild the temple. Let's get our act together and get that temple built.
And that rebuilding of the temple, that's the second word, which is fascinating, because what's the complaint about this lesser temple they're building?
It's smaller than the original. In fact, there were people that were present there that saw the Solomon's temple, and they wept because the second temple was so much smaller than the original.
It's not going to be as good as the last one, since it's not going to be just like it was 100 years ago, well, what's the point?
Right.
What's the point? It'll never be the same, so let's just move on. Well, there's the church today in a lot of ways. There's a lot of despondency out there because they look at attendance today and they look at the way the church is respected in culture and they go, well, what's the point? Let's just move on. You see a connection? Maybe, again, I
yes, I do. Yeah, no, no, absolutely not. And this is, we are like in pagan Rome. It's just as, you know, the morality and the filthiness that we see about us. And of course, that's why by the grace of God, God's people should rise up and witness against all of the corruption that we see around us.
So God speaks through the mouth of Haggai to a people that have stopped caring, have stopped working, have essentially given up and are just sort of, you know, living day to day. And he says, work because I am with you.
Well, yes.
What does that mean? I mean, that's a big theme in Lutheranism, is it? God among us, God dwelling, God tabernacling among his people.
Correct. And then, of course, the emphasis on the means of grace.
Yeah. The real presence among us. You see, I told you there's a lot of Lutheran stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I was quoting from James, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And of course, where does God promise to be present? In the preaching of his gospel, in Holy Communion, in Holy Absolution, in baptism, in Holy Baptism and remembering our baptism.
Imagine finding all this stuff in the Old Testament.
Oh, absolutely. Because they are they, as the Lord Jesus says, that testify of me. Yeah. And then you have this, you have a very famous passage here. I will shake the heavens and the desire of all nations, you know, shall come.
Yeah.
And of course, the idea.
That sounds like an Advent theme to me for some reason.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, Handel in his Messiah, there's a very brilliant bass aria that goes, I will shake. You know, and Hebrews, writer of the letter to the Hebrews mentions that too. He says he only says he will shake it once more. That shows that, and then the application is that the things, the present things of this age will be taken out of the way.
And you know, the other important point here, and again, this is something that applies today. Don't let appearances fool you. Now, this is something where they have decided, in part, that this new temple, this rebuilt temple, will never meet the splendor of Solomon. So this is a point of despondency. And God comes along and says, what? Don't worry, little flock. It's going to be better than you could ever imagine.
It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love that. I love that passage of Christ. You know, he says, fear not, little flock. Yeah. It is your Father's good pleasure to sell your belongings and make for yourselves purses that don't wear out. You know, there you go. They're talking about purses that have holes in them, right?
And you know, it's almost as if somebody meant for all this stuff to make sense together as a complete storyline.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The idea that, I mean, can you imagine how silly this must sound? That, you know, you're standing there in the ruins of Jerusalem. You have hostiles all around you. The wall is in utter disrepair. Anyone with a couple of sticks and a rock can walk in and pretty much, you know, defeat you.
Exactly.
And the word of a prophet comes along and says, this is going to be a place that draws all nations to you. And maybe you ask God that question back. Oh, really? How's that working out for you? Make sense of that, Pastor.
Well, I mean, again, it's just that in the Christ's kingdom is present in this world in great weakness, and it looks like we're defeated. But ultimately, if the Lord does not raise us up in this life, you know, we have the promise of the life to come, and his love for us is his mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
And that constant refrain in the Psalms, you know, his chesed, his steadfast love, his loving kindness shall endure forever.
That word has come up a lot in the course of this study that we've done in some of the minor prophets.
Yes.
Chesed.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember doing a study where I thought it was only grace, but as my professor told me, it's more than that. It's that God really sticks to you, that he keeps his promises.
Yeah.
As Luther says, that his name is truth and faithfulness. And
ultimately, this place where God dwells in the Old Testament is rebuilt, endures to the advent of the Christ, and he literally comes into this temple physically.
Yes. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. I think that's Malachi.
Yeah, and they don't recognize him for some reason.
Yes, of course, and he comes meekly, yeah.
There's that appearance, everything that's before the nose again. This certainly doesn't seem, you know, like what we've been led to believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Funny, you know, they should have known better. See, this is, you know, maybe it's the arrogance of being a New Testament person, but you look back and you say, how could they not have known? How could they not have seen that he was the Christ?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it all falls into place.
Well, I mean, even Nicodemus did, obviously. He was probably the only smart one among them. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
Yeah.
How can
Satan cast out Satan?
And Jesus himself says, if you don't listen to me, don't listen to what I'm saying, just look at the signs themselves. You know, they testify of the fact that I'm from God, yeah, the Father.
And then the third one is this message about what makes something or someone holy or something or someone profane.
Yes.
And again, this is, forgive me for, you know, waxing Lutheran. I am one.
Thank God.
this is such an important theme. It's not about, it is about you, but it's not about you. It's about God coming to you, and
yes,
what God, you know, when God speaks, things happen. That's one of the things I've always taught my kids. And when he says, you're okay by me, how does it get any better? How can you do anything to improve on that?
Exactly. You can't. And it looks like we have a caller.
We do. You tired of me already?
Oh, no.
It's only been 45 minutes. I mean, you should. Bob, come here.
Bob is giving me a break, yes.
Yeah, I'll give you a break, Roland. I don't know if it'll be your arm or leg, but I'll give you a break.
Oh, get in line, my friend. Get in line.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to comment on is the people of Israel. At this time, you had 18 years since the temple was supposed to have been built.
Correct.
With the return of the children of Israel to Jerusalem, and they ran into opposition. And I don't think that it was that things had gotten so bad that the people were, just despondent, oh, man,
right,
I don't know what we're going to do. I think they said, okay, well, we'll build our own houses. And they talk about the paneling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think they were probably self-centered and pretty well off. Pretty well,
yes.
Things were going pretty good for them individually. It was the nation that was in trouble. It was the nation that had not progressed, and they had not made they had not built the temple. They laid the foundation, and then they had to stop because of the opposition. And to me, what God is saying is, you guys stop thinking about yourselves and start thinking about the nation. The nation is what is important, and we got to move forward and bring the Messiah forth. And that, to me, is what this is all about.
Very good point, Bob. Very good point. Yeah, because there's sinfulness in being like a materialistic. Again,
yes,
that comes forward just like our own day and age, as Roland
just
mentions.
Just like our own day and age.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I remember, you know, just sort of saying that, well, if we have a pastor, we're just going to make him as poor as possible or whatever. I mean, we're basically supported so that we can proclaim God's word. But you know, what you spend your money on is really has a very big priority in your life. You know, do you spend...
What God says is that where your heart is, that's your priority. That's where your money is going, and that's where your priority is. And you better watch out, because I'm looking at what your heart is.
Exactly. And that's the whole big problem. You know, at first the people in the case of Hosea were being running the routine and just going through the motions and thinking that was enough. But here in the case of Haggai, they were just simply just looked at God's worship as with indifference. You know, that right. You know, we got our own lives. We're busy enough. We got too much to do to be worry about building a temple and hearing the word of God.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes, very, very important point.
If, like Bob, you'd like to join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor David Boyce Clare is our guest this morning. Okay, this clean and unclean, it's the outward act that doesn't make you clean. It's what God says is clean.
Yes.
And this also goes to Peter in the New Testament when the sheep descends from heaven, and the command is given: kill and eat. There's no longer.
And as Luther says in his large catechism, in the third commandment, it is God's word that makes things holy, and God's word is the true holy thing, the true relic.
Well, because as Bob points out about the nation, if you look at the nation of Israel, is there much there to make them holy outside of God?
Nothing. Absolutely.
Not a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's God's promise that he will live among them. Yeah. And of course, that is why they are a holy nation, by the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to them. That is Christ is our righteousness. This is the name by which he will be called, Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 3, the early verses of chapter 23.
And you know, wouldn't it be that you get up one Sunday morning, you preach a sermon like this, and you get the same response as these people give to Haggai? I mean, look at verse 12 of chapter 1. It says that, and the people feared the Lord. That's the way verse 12 ends.
Wow.
And the people feared.
That's miraculous.
The Lord.
That's a resurrection from the dead.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yes.
There is a pastor in the synod called Charles Miller Sr. always talked about resurrection possibilities, and again, it's as if it's life from the dead. As St. Paul says, if the Jews were to come to Christ, that would be life from the dead. That would be resurrection. And even in the midst of all of the just the gloominess that surrounds us, the Lord is still able to raise the dead.
Now, why would you say that fearing the Lord is a good thing? I mean, if you go to the catechism, we should fear, love, and trust, ..
Fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
So are they responding in fear because they're afraid of the Lord, or is this, how does the word fear?
As one of my professors, Dr. Horace Hummel, said, the fear of the Lord is the Old Testament word for religion. Now, religion in a good sense. And so, in a sense, when it says they feared the Lord, is that means that they were obedient to him and that they trusted him. That's better. Let's be a good Lutheran here. Let's properly divide law and gospel. They trusted in the Lord. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, that one has true faith in God. And then that faith, of course, produces the good works that the Lord wants us to do.
And when you look at verse 5 of chapter 2, I know it kind of breaks there between 4 and 5, but it says, according to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst, fear not. Again, one of those verses like consider your ways that I think has departed from being in the front of people's minds these days. My spirit remains in your midst, fear. We're worried about everything, have you noticed? We're worried about everything.
Yes. Where's the money going to come from? How am I going to pay my bills?
Right.
Is Iran going to lob a nuclear missile in our way or something like that?
And it doesn't mean that we should sit, sort of like a hippie cross-legged in a field somewhere going, om.
It's interesting. Someone just said in church yesterday that the hippies were they wanted to reintroduce paganism to America.
Well, they may just have done that,
But anyway, so continuing your idea.
Well, and this is the thing with Israel, is you have the pillar of fire and smoke. You have all these wondrous plagues that come upon Egypt, and the people still go, really?
Yeah, they took it for granted.
Yeah.
Here they are
so
out in the desert. Here they're in front of the Red Sea. They grumble, and then so the Lord parts the Red Sea and lets them cross. Then they get hungry. And the Lord gives them manna and,
right.
and quail.
Right.
And you know, and then they're thirsty. Then the Lord has Moses, you know, strike the rock. Or the water is brackish, and he throws in a you know, and
right,
they just
yeah.
take him for granted. Well, what's he going to do for us now? What has he
yeah.
done for us lately? You
yeah.
know, that type of attitude, taking God for granted.
Yeah, and we have, you mentioned earlier, you know, there's a very distinct position that we take on the real presence in the sacrament.
Yes.
That God is literally among his people.
Exactly.
Really?
And,
right.
Well, I mean, that's the neat thing about
wanna, really?
About word and sacrament going on at Calvary.
That's my best theological question.
Like I tell my people, you don't have to get in a time machine to go back 2,000 years to be at the foot of Calvary's cross, although that would be a wonderful thing to do. But anyway, the thing is that is not where the forgiveness is given. The forgiveness is given here and now in the gospel. And as he talks about the Spirit being present with his people, that is the Word, and of course it's the Holy Sacraments, and the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, works through them to change us from unbelieving into believing people.
Now we have a few minutes left here, Pastor Boies Clarice. Let me give you my list of five things that I came up with this
yes.
morning, and you tell me if I was on the right track or not as I was studying Haggai. When he says to examine our priorities, sort of the Dr. Phil version of how's that working out for
yes.
you, consider yourselves as to whether or not we're more interested in our own pleasure than doing the work of God. That reminds me about the examine yourself as you get prepared
yes.
to come for, up to receive the body
Holy Communion.
Blood.
Very right. good point, yes.
You know, consider your ways. You know, why are you doing this? Why do you need this?
Or as St. Paul says, the one who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall, mm. you know, about temptation,
yeah.
you know. Next
and,
one?
And then the next one I came up with is sort of this, and again, not to dispute Bob's point, because I think Bob was right, but there is this defeatist mentality among the people.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Yes.
And that reminded me of the part of the liturgy on Sunday morning where we say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
For how long?
Forever.
So what do you got to worry about?
Exactly.
You know, again, nothing to be worried about here. The call to confess our failures.
Yes.
That call to confession, repentance, that's the first of the 95 Theses. You see, I'm developing my theme here.
Yes.
I may be
under
something. I don't know.
And Jesus,
maybe I should call CPA.
And Jesus in the gospel says we are to be as little children or we to be nothing before God. And we are to despair in ourselves and trust in God.
And the call to be courageous, because God is with us.
Yeah, it is a call for forthright Christian living in the face of all the opposition.
Yeah. And that reminded me of sin boldly, I mean, but confess all the more boldly.
What's interesting is even in our day and age, when people decry the you know things like same-sex marriage, I mean they're being jumped upon by everybody.
Yeah.
And in here they're witnessing the truth of God's word. And if you stand up for righteousness and standing up for God, you're getting pummeled from every direction, and that courageous being courageous because the Lord is with you, is sort of like Dwight L. Moody said. A student says, "Well, how can I defend God?" He says, "He's like a lion that's in a cage. Just let him out." You know, when you speak the truth, when you speak the word of God. You know, the Lord is there with all of his power. Of course, he comes immediately. He can be resisted in the gospel.
Yeah.
But the Lord is present in power in his word, in the word of the gospel. And that's comforting to us. And then he says that Zerubbabel is a signet ring. That's rather interesting. Like the king normally would take off his crown and all of his regalia, but he'd keep his ring on his hand. So it shows that God's people, the Lord makes us indispensable to him.
Yeah, Christ with us, it doesn't get any better than that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So could you say, just quickly here, about 30 seconds, is God still warning us today? And if so, are we listening?
I think absolutely so. And that's why it's so important to read Haggai. And then Zechariah is sort of like Haggai's companion, and so that we might draw near to God, so he will draw near to us.
Now, again, this is the failure of my enjoying the fact that I paint with large brushes and I miss the fine details sometimes, but it seems to me, generally speaking, not true in all cases, that there really is no reason to ignore these little books of the Old Testament.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Then why do we?
Everything is written for our learning, that by patience and comfort of the Scriptures we may have hope.
Good work. Not easy lifting today. You had quite a task set before you, Pastor Boisclair. Did a great job.
Well, and I liked your points, too.
We're going to be coming right back after the news with Ask the Pastor. Pastor David Boisclair at Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches. Check out Everything's a Buck. How can you go wrong there? 3000 North Lucas and Hunt.
And we've got Halloween decorations, too.
Ooh,
and we will have Christmas decorations.
Thank you, my friend.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
KFUO, the messenger of good news, broadcasting 24 hours a day at kfuo.org.
I'm a regular listener, have been for many years. I just want to compliment you and also Roland with the Bible Study and the Ask the Pastor programs. I look forward to hearing them every day, and my faith grows, and it's good hearing from the other pastors he interviews, and also his program on Saturday afternoons as well. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you guys for KFUO. It's some of the best talk radio.
Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps.
I'm a KFUO supporter, and I really enjoy all the archives. I love the long gospel program and the Bible study. I like the book talk also. It's good. Thank you.
You can listen to KFUO radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. KFUO, the messenger of good news.